You're listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. The views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. Good morning, everyone. Welcome, everyone, no matter what their age, gender, sexuality, background, heritage, is welcome here. So it's great to be together with you. And always worth noting that we've been going in South Australia since 1854. We meet on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people, and we recognise their elders past and present. A few notices to get out of the way. First of all, today is the very last day for newsletter contributions. So if you're going to race home and finalise a contribution, perhaps you could let Sandy or Aaron know that it's on the way. Being very frank and honest here, how many people would not like to have dogs in church? Just to let people know about the coming of age ceremony that's going to take place end of October for some of our young people. The young women will be out on an excursion on the 20th and 21st of October before the service at the end of October, which will be a coming of age service. And we're still to pin down when a couple of our young men might be going on an excursion as well, might be a bit earlier in October. So further details as we get closer to the time. In case people want to participate simply by being present for some of the event. I'll let people know also that with Robin being away this month and next month, we've put an extra load on Brendan, broad shoulders. He's very happy to bear the load, but if we rely on him any more for music, we'll have to insure his fingers, I think. So in between times, if anyone has a prospect for somebody who could play music in these services, most importantly with a compatible ethos to what we're all about, then perhaps contact me in the first place, or Jenny perhaps, and we'll see what we do with that. It's not a matter of urgency, but if you think of someone, let me know. I think that covers most things. I can let you know that the Words of Spirit service is on Wednesday, 6 p.m. That is this Wednesday, 20th of September. A beautiful quiet hour of contemplation here for those who wish to take part. I think everyone realises Mary is away at the moment. Noel is acting in her place with slightly reduced hours. So just you might want to be aware of that. Shady Grove Bush Care and Cemetery Care, both taking place on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month. Jenny Warner knows about that. And I think that's all I need to cover. But Erica was going to come forward just to talk about the roster. And then we can get on to less mundane stuff. So in summary, things don't happen here by magic. We need helpers, and if anyone would like to help with any part of putting together the Sunday, and there are some very simple roles involved, please see Erica afterwards. Annette has...
Yeah, I've got a washing machine that's only been used a few
times. Annette has a washing machine.
It's basically new. I want to give it away. I'm not prepared to give it to an agency which will then sell it.
If anyone wants a washing machine, see Annette after the service. Otherwise, the Refugee Association might help. All right. Salvation Army. Anyway, that's a discussion for later on. Also mentioning, as people know, you can make a contribution in the foyer on your way out if you wish. And now some music to get us into the mood. And thanks, Brendan. It's Srotha Zoerli. The Zoerli are Swiss folk songs. And please let's get it rolling. So Rudi and Verna Roth wrote it. There's folk musicians, I suppose. It is a yodeling song. So anyone who would, we're very tolerant here, very all embracing. So if you want to yodel along, do feel free. And by popular demand, I am going to yodel to myself during this.
When I first heard this song, I heard a version from the movie The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, right.
And the group that sang it as complete male choir. I tried doing that, but with my trusty lute pedal, I had the Moyes Boys voice choir. Well, me.
Thank you to all of you, Brendan. We gather together before this flame, which has been a symbol of freedom from tyranny over the years. And today we're going to talk about a group that indeed has suffered persecution. And it's a wonderful thing that Australia, among many other nations, has been able to offer a home to these devout people who have escaped from Iran and Iraq. And now, we're going to have a story for all ages, read by Erica. I would just like to express some joy at the stories I hear of people in this group caring for each other, going out of their way to support and care for each other. It's a beautiful thing. Would anyone like to come forward with a joy or concern?
Shana Tova. Happy New Year. It's Rosh Hashanah. Yes, beginning of the new Jewish year.
This one's one for democracy. The young people in our church painted a yes banner, which we carried all the way down King William Street and all the way back. There was more than 5,000 people there. It was a very positive experience, and there was a lack of heckling and all that sort of stuff. So it was good.
And most importantly, the young people taking that positive action for what they believe in.
It is my joy this morning to be welcoming my sister Sandra. As I get older, I realise how important sisterly love is for all of us.
Right, so good news for Bron's brother and also the lovely flowers of spring. We're going to have a flower service in October. Hopefully they're still around by then.
And that candle is for the Quaker Up Shop, who are celebrating their 55th birthday today.
I spent 10 of those years there.
Thank you. And I know that their funds go to help refugees arriving in Australia as well. Very well. If there are no others, I'll light a candle for those joys and concerns that we hold in our hearts, not expressed today. Let's spend a moment reflecting on what we've heard, a variety of joys and concerns. And for those things that are troubling us at the moment, let us come to a place of peace in relation to them, and let us count our blessings, the many joys that we experience day to day from family and the world. Let us experience joy thinking of the enthusiasm and bursting energy of young people, including those who are part of our community. Now I'll ask David to come forward with our reading today from some of the literature as part of the related to the group that we're going to talk about today.
This is taken from the 1012 questions written in Aramaic by a Mandaean priest. So when the soul came from the worlds of light and fell into the body, there came with her some of all the mysteries which exist in the world of light, some of its radiance and its light, some of its sincerity, some of its unity, its order, its peacefulness, and its honesty. Some of all that there is in the realm of light came to bear her company, to delight her, to purify her, and to surround her in order that she may commune with them, and that there may be for her that which will aid her against the evils and temptations of the earth.
Well, we talk today about the Mandaeans. From time to time here we look at other religions, and this can not only help us with our toleration of other people as we get to understand them better, but also in discussing the spiritual path of others, you never know what you're going to come across which might help your own thoughts about these matters. Even if you're an atheist or agnostic, as many are, please consider the possibility that the good, the beautiful, and the true cannot be perfectly expressed in simple prose. Art and mythology have their purpose. Most of the spiritual traditions of the world have rich imagery from which we can draw inspiration. Carl Jung and others, for example, drew on the stories and characters of the Greek gods to make sense of many of the quirks of human psychology. So today we look at the Mandaeans, a religious group dear to my heart, the only Gnostic group continuously in existence over the past 2,000 years. There is uncertainty about the origins of the Mandaeans. Some scholars support the thesis that the Mandaeans were a Jewish group who came to venerate John the Baptist as the most significant prophet. Jewish origin is supported by the many Mandaean scriptural references to notable figures from the Jewish religion. Mandaean scripture says that they were older than Judaism, and it was the Jews who departed from the true religion, not the other way around. So it's entirely plausible that they fled to the east from the Jordan Valley to evade hostility from the prevalent Jewish population, to be found today in southern Iraq and southwestern Iran. There is a contrary view among some scholars, primarily on the basis that the earliest physical evidence of the Mandaean population goes back no earlier than the 3rd century of the Common Era. From that period, we have some prayer bowls and a reference or two in historical Persian texts. The bowls have elaborate prayers or incantations written in them. They may well have been used ritually, for example, for pouring water or drinking water from them. Although this may be the earliest physical evidence of the religion, it does seem unlikely that a religion with an extensive, complex theology centered around John the Baptist would emerge suddenly in Mesopotamia without any obvious proximate cause. The oldest surviving scriptures date from the 1500s. They're written in a language found nowhere outside the Mandaean group. Mandaeans, even today, continue to speak Mandaic, which is an Aramaic language called Eastern Aramaic by some linguists. So you can see from the diagram I've put up that it's a relatively close relation to Hebrew and not far off Arabic either. But it is striking to think that we've got people today speaking a language which would have been something like what Jesus or Yeshua spoke 2,000 years ago. Endogamy has helped to keep their religion, rituals, and language intact for 2,000 years. In other words, they're not permitted to marry outside the group. Neither can one convert into the group, making it all the more extraordinary that they've survived. History is written by the winners. So you know the story of Yeshua, whom I'll refer to as Jesus today, being baptized by John the Baptist, Yohanan in Hebrew and Aramaic, later Yahya in Arabic. From the Mandaean point of view, the story is turned around. The leading prophet of the era 2,000 years ago was John the Baptist, not the man who came to him for baptism in the Jordan. Even in the Christian text, Matthew chapter 3, John was busy baptizing many Jews, quote, from Jerusalem and all over Judea, unquote, when Jesus came. Incidentally, apart from the reference to John the Baptist in the book ascribed to Mark, the historian Josephus also referred to a significant Jewish preacher, John, who was baptizing Jews at the time. After baptism, Yeshua, Jesus, retreated into the desert. So did you ever pause to think what happened to all the other Jews who were baptized by John? According to Mandaean tradition, they continued to live in the Jordan River Valley until persecution forced them to travel to the east, to what is now southern Iraq and southwestern Iran. And for much of their time in these regions, they were able to live in peace. They themselves were bound by their religion to be pacifists. And for the most part, under the Persian and Muslim empires, they were tolerated. The Quran favourably mentions a group called the Sabaeans. One interpretation of this name relies on the Arabic word for dipping in water, so it could well have referred to the Mandaeans. The Mandaeans and others claimed to be people of the book, the reference in the Quran, because that brought with it toleration alongside the Christians and the Jews in the Muslim Empire, as long as they paid their taxes. In the last 50 years, a more intolerant strain of Islam has become politically prominent, and persecution of the Mandaeans has been continuous since the Iranian Revolution of 1979. Their religion has elements which are in common with some of the other Middle Eastern religions. There's a strong emphasis on the light and the dark, this world and the next, which is consistent with the Zoroastrian view of the world. Christians adopted the baptism ritual with the notion of washing away sin. This indeed is the purpose of the Mandaean baptism ritual, except that it's not a once-in-a-lifetime event, it is part of the weekly ritual. Every single week, the practicing Mandaean should don the white robes and enter into flowing water, where a priest can ritually submerge the person. Early on in the development of conventional Christian theology, not at the beginning, but early on, Jesus was elevated to the status of a necessary intermediary between humanity and God. For the Mandaean, direct experience of God is possible if one has sufficient knowledge along with a virtuous life. Just as the word Gnostic derives from the Greek word for knowledge, in Mandaic the word manda means knowledge. And now I'll invite Brendan to play some more music for us.
Strange guitar.
dances with the butcher's son.
Thank you. Like our Jewish and Muslim friends, the Mandaeans are strictly monotheistic. In keeping with the three-tier structure of the universe developed in traditional Christianity, there is a heavenly realm, there is our present material realm of this earthly life, and there is a realm of darkness. Existence is a struggle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. There are numerous beings, let's call them angels, in the heavenly realm, which can assist us, just as there are demonic beings in the dark world, which can drag us down. Clearly, it is a dualistic religion. As in any dualistic system, there's good news and bad news. If you were wondering where our earthly existence fitted into this struggle, it's not exactly cheerful news. It was actually one of the lords of the dark world that created this one out of matter. Hence the need for constant purification and impeccable behaviour to be released from this world and find deliverance in the realm of light. The good news is that when the world was created, a spark of the divine was instilled into Adam, the prototype of humanity. We all therefore have that spark of divinity which yearns to return to the world of light. For devout believers, death is nothing to fear. It's simply transition to a better world. The name for their funeral ritual is the word for ascent, going upwards. Adam is honoured as the first in a series of significant prophets, and some of these are in common with the Jewish and Christian religions, for example, Enoch and Noah. The most significant prophet, as I mentioned earlier, is John the Baptist. The Mandaeans have many volumes of sacred scriptures. The most important known is the Ginza Rabba, the Great Treasure. It is a compilation in the same way that Jewish and Christian scriptures are compilations. In this case, it contains creation stories, moral rules for living, poetic accounts of the soul's ascent to heaven, and prophecies about the end of the world. It also contains many fascinating diagrams. Curiously, the Ginza is structured as two books in one, known as the Left Ginza and the Right Ginza. The book can be read one way, then flipped over and read the other way. Another extremely important holy document is called the Book of John, which portrays John as the final prophet, having come from the light world on a mission to assist humanity. Very distinctive artwork in their scriptures. The Mandaean scriptures can be viewed as dismissive of those who did not take up the instruction of John the Baptist. And please don't think for a moment that I condone any scriptural references which are derogatory of other religions. Mandaeans aren't the only ones to have that feature. Mandaean scripture proclaims John the Baptist was a Mandaean, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, as a Mandaean as well. But Jesus is considered a breakaway who chose not to follow the true faith. The words ascribed to Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus is referring to John the Baptist, quote, "Whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he," close quote, was never going to sit well with the Mandaeans. And the Mandaeans also completely reject the Jewish creation story and the Torah in general. In brief, there are parts of the Mandaean scripture which really quite clearly reject the Christian and Jewish faiths. The interesting thing for the person who's trying to decipher the Christian scripture is why in the book ascribed to Matthew, remembering that this was written many generations after the life of Jesus, why there would be a belittling, in a sense, my interpretation, belittling of John the Baptist. In other words, saying, no, you might have followed him before, but now I'm Jesus, I'm actually the way to go. You wonder why the author of that text would need to put that in unless there was still a strong following for John the Baptist. So just a question. So I've used the term Gnostic, and it's open to misinterpretation because it's been applied by scholars to many different religious groups. It generally covers such a range, but there are a few key points. Generally, there is a transcendent, impersonal God. It is possible to acquire knowledge about this divine essence. There's a soul or divine spark within the human being which yearns for reunion with the divine. And logically, this journey of the soul embedded in a human body means a striving to get beyond, in other words, a letting go of all addictions to anything and everything in the material world. Unsurprisingly, given the prominence given to the teaching of John the Baptist, the central ritual of the Mandaeans is baptism, as I mentioned earlier. And the instruction is that this should occur in flowing clear water. But of course, practicing Mandaeans have had to adapt according to the water available. And particularly in parts of Iran, for example, where the government has deliberately polluted the rivers used by the Mandaeans to make it more difficult to bathe and indeed drink from. The weekly baptism event becomes for the entire community. So on Sundays, that is their special day of the week, as well as the festivals, everyone changes into white robes, which cover the head and bodies, men and women, and prayers and readings from the Holy Scripture are read, and then there will be a community meal afterwards, including a ritual consumption of a piece of bread and three sips of holy water. So that is interesting because it sounds a bit like the Christian communion. And in another curious correlation to Christian practice, the primary symbol of the Mandaeans is a piece of white silk draped over a wooden cross, crowned by a sprig of myrtle. So how that developed in relation to the Christian placing of significance upon the cross is a good question. Another part of the regular Mandaean ritual is the anointing of oil after baptism. And remember, this is a weekly event. Sesame oil is placed across the forehead of the believers, and myrtle is placed by the priest on their heads, myrtle incidentally having been considered one of the sacred plants among ancient Jewish people. It's estimated that there are no more than 100,000 Mandaeans left in the whole world. Many fled the persecution, wars and natural disasters of southern Iraq and southwestern Iran to settle in countries as refugees. The community themselves estimate about 10,000 Mandaeans in Australia, at least half of them in Sydney. And I must admit, I knew nothing about them until I started representing refugees in the Woomera Detention Centre. A number of them were Mandaean. I'm glad that some very decent and hard-working families from this group have made a new home in Australia. And one former client there who's now quite a successful person in Adelaide. So as we play some final music, I'll give a greeting in some Mandaic language. Asutha Nevil Kun. May good health in soul and body be granted to you. Now some Chopin. We hope you've enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter. This permission can be obtained by emailing admin@unitarianSA.org.au. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians or by visiting our website at unitarianSA.org.au. Thank you, Brendan.